Again, good evening. So glad y'all made it out. Let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 150. And if you'd like a Bible, just raise your hand. The ushers will get you one. And you will want one. Psalm 150. So glad you guys all made it out. I've been kind of chomping at the bit to get back in this worship series. And we took, of course, the week off for VBS, and we had communion, and just I've been excited to get back to this. I'm convinced that the Lord's got something great for us this evening as we have come to find out, Lord, you know, we just kind of present ourselves to Him and say, God, how do I worship? How do I praise You? How do I put a smile on Your face, God? How do I bless You? And He's blessed by that. He's blessed you guys have made it out, and He's blessed that we're going to be considering this topic, and we'll open up with a word of prayer. Lord, would You just open up our hearts, Lord, as we open up Your Word and consider Your truths, God, to do what You desire to do the way that You want to do it. And Lord, may this not be simply academic, but we need these things in our hearts and in our lives. So Lord, we can talk and we can listen concerning the subject of praise and worship, but Lord, may we do and may we live and may our hearts overflow with these things, God. Lord, if these things don't get into our lives, then we end up in a worse spot. To sit and to hear about praise and not to do it would be so wrong. So please just stir these things in each heart tonight and stir these things in us as a body here at Calvary Chapel El Cajon, and stir these things in us as a nation, and Lord, all the nations, the whole body of Christ, stir us to worship and praise You, for You are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I had you turn to Psalm 150. It'll be a little while till we get there. If you have a pencil or anything else, you can just kind of put it in there. We'll get there later on. And I don't know, I might even have more scriptures along the way that I have you turn to. We'll certainly have plenty of scriptures to go through, but there's a lot in different places. And so I'll be honest, I looked at, well, hopefully I'm always being honest, but I looked at my notes and I said, you know what, that's the biggest text, I'll just have them turn there, even if it's at the end. So what, right? Again, this is the fourth study in this series that we've called Face Down, and we're just talking about worshiping the Lord. And even as we prayed, not so that we can talk about worshiping the Lord, but so that we can get a greater understanding of it, and so that the Lord could whet our appetites for more of it, and so that we as a people and as a body of believers and as individuals, as His redeemed, could become worshipers, true worshipers. Maybe some of us here aren't worshipers at all. Maybe some of us, I know that many are, but we want to grow deeper and we want to learn more. And that's exactly what we're here for. This is the fourth in a series of what's going to end up being six studies. And you can certainly check out the previous ones online on our website, just if you're interested and you want to learn more. I call this series Face Down because essentially it comes from the two main words in the original text that we translate into our English word worship. In the Old Testament, by far, the Hebrew word that's used most and translated into English as worship is the word shakah, and that means to bow down, to fall down on your face. And then if you go to the New Testament, that Greek word that is translated into English as worship the most, and by far the most, is the word proskuneo, which again means to bow down, to be on our faces before God. And so really that's what worship is. It's our proper response to who God is, to bow down, to bow our hearts, to bow our lives, to bow our faces before Him. And that's why I called it Face Down. I do want to clarify something though, because I was thinking about it the other day, and I even went back and listened to the first study that we had, and I noticed that I had said that if God were to bless us or to reveal His complete presence right here and now, that we'd have no choice but to fall down on our faces. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, you know what? that's not really correct. The Lord actually tells us in Exodus what would happen if the Lord blessed us with his whole presence. Remember Moses on Mount Sinai, and he said, Lord, show me your glory. And this is in Exodus 33, in case you're wondering, you want to check it out later. And then in verse 20, God says, well, he goes on to explain that I will show you part of my glory. And then God says, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. So I want to clarify that, because if God gave us his whole presence right here and right now, we would be incinerated. We wouldn't be able to handle it. And so the next worship series we do, I'm going to call it Incinerated. And the picture, I'm not sure what the artwork will look like for that one. But no, I mean, that's the case, right? God is that great and God is that powerful. However, the idea of being face down is completely, it's what worship is. You even look in Revelation, and you see the saints and you see the angels in heaven. What are they doing? They're falling on their faces before God. And you know what? We will be able to do that when we're in heaven, but because we won't have these bodies, these tents anymore. We'll have new bodies, and we'll be able to be in his presence and worship him. And so I just want to kind of clarify that. And also I thought, what a great reminder of how great our God is. He's so amazing. He's so huge, more than we could ever imagine. And so when we see his glory, and we do, and we sing songs, the earth is filled with his glory, and it is, and God even puts his glory upon others, believers, and we get to see it. But that's not his whole glory. That's a piece of it. And we just keep crying, Lord, more, more, more. But he knows when, too much is too much, and we'd be gone. But, you know, I was thinking about it over the weekend. I don't know, how many of you happened to watch the opening ceremonies for the Olympics? Did any of you guys see that? It was pretty great, huh? I mean, it was cool. Did you guys think so? Were you blown away by it? I was blown away. I mean, it was awe-inspiring, and I thought, the last time we talked about worship, we talked about God being awe-inspiring. And then I thought about this idea of God and how great his glory is, and this guy that directed the whole thing. I mean, really phenomenal. But nowhere will you find him say something like, you know, no man shall see my presentation and live. You know, no man shall see opening day ceremony and live. No, the ceremony was cool. It created awe. It was amazing. But compared to our God, nothing. And we don't even get to see him in all his glory. We see, when we look around and we're, God, this is amazing. I mean, it's a beautiful evening. I'm blessed because this is as nice as it's been all day. It's been muggy and, you know, are we going to have to call it due to rain and, you know, in mid-August? And we look around and what we see that blows our minds, the sun, the mountains, his creation, those are things that he spoke into existence. So think of how great he himself is. It's just amazing to think about. Tonight's topic specifically is the idea of praise. We're going to talk about praise specifically. We've been talking a lot about what worship is, and I encourage you, in order to get the context for tonight, to check some of those studies out. But tonight I want to talk about specifically praise, and also even more specific than that, from the Psalms. We're not going to be just in the Psalms, but the Psalms, I mean, it's a book about praise. Praise the Lord, all the time is what you hear. It's a great book, and its theme is praise the Lord, and so we want to make sure that we learn from the Psalms what it means to praise the Lord. And also, as we go on, I hope you've been brushing up a little bit on your Hebrew, because we're going to have some Hebrew words that we're going to go over. So I'm going to read you some verses. If you're taking notes, you can write these down. I handpicked these verses because a little bit later I'm going to tell you what Hebrew word was translated into our English word praise. And they're different words, and we all have our English word praise, but a little later on I'm going to tell you what Hebrew word was used in that psalm. So if you're not taking notes, best of luck to you. Psalm 7, 17, I'm going to read you. And again, I might go a bit fast for you to turn there, but you can try. Psalm 7, 17. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Psalm 52:9, I will praise you forever because you have done it, and in the presence of your saints I will wait on your name, for it is good. Psalm 33:1, I rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Step out of the Psalms for a moment. Deuteronomy 10:21. He is your praise. Deuteronomy 10:21. He is your praise, and he is your God, who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen. Nehemiah 9:5. Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. That was Nehemiah 9:5. Then back to the Psalms. Psalm 21:13. Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your power. Psalm 57:7. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Last but not least, Psalm 63:3. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Just verses about praise, encouraging to praise the Lord. Again, in a little bit, we're going to read some of those verses again, and I'm going to tell you what that Hebrew word means that's in the original text. But the main thing right now is just take it in. The Lord is worthy of praise. We're called as his people to sing his praises. So what is praise? It's always good to just ask those simple questions when we're studying the scriptures. What is praise then? The English dictionary actually gives some very good definitions, and I'm going to read just about all of them that I got off of dictionary.com here. This is the English dictionary for the word praise. The first one is the act of expressing approval or admiration, commendation, laudation. So the act of showing admiration. The second definition, the offering of grateful homage in words or song as an act of worship, a hymn of praise to God. Third definition, the state of being approved or admired. And they give an example, the king lived in praise for many years. Another definition, to extol. To offer grateful homage to God as in words or song. And then the last one I have here is to sing someone's praises. To praise someone publicly and enthusiastically. And then they give an example. I'm going to reference this in a little bit. He is always singing his wife's praises. So what is praise? It's to show admiration. It's to commend somebody. It's to give glory to something. It's to sing. And it's put often in the context of song. And so really it's to tell somebody how great they are, and most often in the context of a song would be a good definition for praise. And so when we praise God, we're telling him how good he is, and we're doing it in song, and we're expressing it. Praise is expressive. We use our bodies and our hands and our voices in praise. One question that we might ask is, well, then what's the difference between worship and praise? And is there a difference? And the simple answer is, yes, there is a difference, but don't worry yourself about it. We don't need to sit there and get to the point where we look at a list of worship songs and go, well, that's a worship one, and that's a praise one, and that's a worship one. And okay, you know, right now, am I praising? Am I worshiping? That type of thing. We don't want to worry about these things, but I believe that if we talk about what the differences are, that it's really going to help us in our understanding and hopefully help us in our lives of worship. really, if you think of praise in comparison to worship, worship is all-encompassing. Worship is our response to God, and it could mean a number of things, but praise is a little more specific. Worship being a broad idea, praise being more specific. All praise is a type of worship, but not all worship would be praise. And basically, let me explain it like this. Again, praise is more expressive. And so when we're going, Lord, you're great, and we're singing it out, and we're telling Him, and maybe we're clapping, and maybe even moving a little bit. I know you guys don't like to do that, but you know, maybe even you're just moving a little bit and singing to the Lord, and that's praise. Whereas if you were on your face before God and weeping and confessing or just giving thanks, that wouldn't be praise. That would be worship. Now, the praise part of it that I was talking about, going, Lord, you're good, you're great, you're awesome, that's still worship, right? But praise more specifically is expressive. Praise has volume to it. Praise is noticeable. You can see it with your eyes. Worship is a heart matter. It's a matter of the heart. And that's actually why I hope this helps you understand it a little better. It does for me, so I'll share it with you. But when I thought about that last definition in the English dictionary where it says he is always singing his wife's praises, you guys have heard that that way of saying things before, right? You've heard people say that. And I thought, you know what? Another thing you could say in talking about a husband and a wife, you could say he worships her. Two different things. We've heard both of them, right? But they're different ideas. Because if someone, oh, that guy's always singing his wife's praises, that means he's vocal about it. That means he's going, oh, she's the greatest, you're the greatest, did you hear my wife did, she's so great, on and on. That's singing his wife's praises. That's what that figure of speech would mean. But somebody else, you might say, you know what, he just worships her. And that would simply mean that he adores her. That in his heart, she is so important, and he just loves her. He might not be all that vocal about it, maybe because it's not his personality. Maybe he's just, you know, not always going to be saying things. But you know, that guy worships her. And you know what? A person that praises their wife, oh, man. Okay. I got off to a different train of thought. I can't go there. I'm thinking of person A and person B on the new marriage application right now, you know, because that's what California marriage application says right now, person A and person B. But we're not talking about whether or not person A is praising B. We're talking about husband and wife here. We'll get back on track. That person might just be saying it, might not mean it. Being vocal, always singing her praises, but vocal is it. Even as God in places in Scripture says, you only praise me with your lips, but with your hearts you're far from me. But worship, that's a heart matter. And when our hearts are right, then our praises are right. But do you guys understand where I'm coming from as far as the praise worship thing? Being more vocal, being just maybe a little more lively. And maybe that's one of the reasons why we might call our times of singing times of praise and worship, because we want them to be that. We want to be able to praise and rejoice in the Lord, but we also want to make sure we have time to go before the Lord and just and worship and adore. Sometimes we need to be still and know that He is God. Sometimes we weep, and that's necessary. Sometimes we need to say, God, this is where I'm at. I'm just lost. Help. And that's going on while the songs are going on, and that's fine. But we don't want it to be exclusive to just, okay, we all have to sing, we all have to clap and have to lift our hands. No, we're worshiping. I encourage you to. I fully give you the invitation to lift your hands during worship. If the setting's right, you know, and that's why a lot of times we say, hey, you know, sit down or stand up however the Lord leads, because there's times I know when I'm worshiping and I'm sitting down and everything in me just said, I got to stand up and praise the Lord physically. And it's, I don't care what the person next to me is doing. I just know I got to stand and worship the Lord. And so it's good for us to do that and express that. There's times when there's actually physical room in front of us where we can bow down. Sometimes it's hard to do it with the aisles and all. But we can do that. We don't want to be distracting, but I guess just from what I see as a church, we're not. There's no worry about us being distracting. We if anything, as a church, and I encourage you as a worship leader and as somebody that's with you worshiping, we, if anything, could liven up a bit. Just, you know, wouldn't hurt. Wouldn't hurt. Hands raised, voices singing. And when we clap, I'm just going to trust that you're clapping to the Lord. I hope nobody's ever, you know, the normal response after a song is clap because they just, you know, played a song for us if you go to a concert, right? I hope that's not what we're doing when we're clapping. We clap to the Lord. We praise the Lord. We worship Him. Sometimes the words in the song aren't exactly where we're at. Sing, I love you, Jesus. Maybe you don't know the words. Sing, I love you, Jesus. And it's contagious. It's hard when there's only maybe a couple people doing it. Or maybe you've never done it before and you thought, oh. You know, and you just kind of lift your hand a little bit. You're, that's fine. We're all growing. We're all growing. All of this stuff, I really hope we're not looking at other people and thinking, oh man, they never do that, or they never raise their hand, or oh, they do it too much. And guys, we're praising the Lord. We are a people before God just praising Him. So praise Him as the Lord leads. And we can open up. And if things get distracting, we can deal with that down the road. But I haven't seen any crazy wild dancing or, you know, somebody try to leap from the upper area where the computer is. I've never seen that, so I don't have to tell you guys not to do it. I'm just going to assume you know. But, you know, we can move a little bit. I can't dance, but when I get a guitar, I feel a little more comfortable moving. But I clearly don't have a guitar, so I'm just going to tell you. You can move when you sing, and it's fine because we're praising Him. What I want to do now is mention a handful of Hebrew words. Like I said, from scriptures we've already read, and tell you what those Hebrew words mean, because it's going to give us an idea, because praise is so multifaceted. There's so much to it. There's so many different ways we can worship the Lord. There's so many different ways we can praise the Lord. And so I'm going to define some of these words for you. The word itself maybe isn't so important for you. It is for me, because it helps me remember which one is which. But the spelling and especially the pronunciation, because I'm not going to get it right, so you don't need to, you know, you don't need to get it right either. But we're going to try pronunciation-wise. Definition, though, will be correct. The first word, and this is translated a whole lot in the scriptures and a whole lot in the Psalms as our English word praise, and it is the Hebrew word yada. And it means this. It means to worship with extended hands. It means to use the hands. That's kind of cool to know. The word praise actually means use your hands. So we already see, right, that even though in the Old Testament, you can see the word worship, and most of the time it won't be accompanied with music. With praise, it's the opposite. Praise is almost always accompanied with music or tambourines. And I will say, don't bring your tambourine on Sundays. And Ricky will second that motion, because it will really throw us off. But the drummer says no tambourines. But, you know, clapping and just express joy to the Lord. And this word yada means to worship with extended hands. It also means this. It means confession. And it means thanksgiving. Seems like a bit of a paradox when you first think of it. The word means to confess, but it also means to say thank you. But it's a perfect paradox, because when we consider our God and His grace, our times of worship are to be times where we come and confess our sins and we leave forgiven. We leave touched by God and changed by God. We come weak, we leave strong in Him. We come casting these burdens down and going, Lord, I can't do it. And we leave empowered by the Spirit. And really, that's what worship is. I'm going to read you a little bit out of Vine's dictionary defining this word yada, because I liked it. And it's important for us as a group of believers. It says, the usual context for the word yadah seems to be public worship, where the worshipers affirm and renew their relationship with God. The subject is not primarily the isolated individual, but the congregation, especially in hymns. And I'll pick up a little bit later. Oh, and thanksgiving for Yahweh's mighty acts of salvation. An affirmation or confession of God's undeserved kindness. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me start out with that sentence because this is good. An affirmation or confession of God's undeserved kindness throws man's unworthiness into sharp relief. Essentially, we come in our humanity. He shows up in his divinity, and you see the contrast, and you get that forgiveness and power from the Lord. And all that is in that word, yadah. So when we read those first couple verses, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. That's that word, yadah. To worship with extended hands, publicly to worship, and to confess and to give thanksgiving. Also, Psalm 52:9, I will praise you forever because you have done it. And in the presence of your saints, I will wait on your name, for it is good. Again, that same word, yadah. Another word I want to reference is a word, tehillah. Tehillah. Now, first, this word really denotes a quality or attribute of that person that you're praising. There's a glory to that person that you're praising. There's a praiseworthiness. And so we give glory to God. And that's what this word tehillah means. It's also interesting, though, because not only does it mean that we give glory to God, but it also means that our praises, remember the Bible says that God inhabits our praises. And so when our praises are pure, and when they're right, and when they enthrone the Lord, the praises themselves actually become a glimpse of God's glory. They become a piece, or maybe you can look at it as an extension of his glory. That's that word tehillah. So we give glory to God, and as we do, those praises themselves, as they rise up, are actually an extension of God's glory. Amazing, huh? So when we read those verses, Psalm 33:1, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. That's what that word is. Now it even sheds more light when we read it. Praise from the upright is beautiful, because that praise is filled with the glory of God. Deuteronomy 10:21, same word, tehillah. He is your praise, and he is your God. In other words, he is your glory, who has done for you these great and awesome things which you have seen, which your eyes have seen. The third one we want to look at is Barak, B-A-R-A-K, and it simply means to kneel. To kneel, and it means to bless. When you see that verse in the Psalms that says, come, let us worship and bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, that's that word, Barak. What I like the most about this is that most often in the Scriptures, when you see that word Barak, it's translated into blessed, and it's talking about God blessing his people. The blessings, the Lord bless you and keep you in Numbers, that's that word. And so I love the fact that our praise is us blessing God. Now we can't bless him on our own because we're weak, but we can bless him with our praises because he's redeemed us, we're his people, his spirit is in us. So when we praise him, it's for him. Not because of how we feel, but because we give him glory, and because, Lord, we're saying, Lord, we just want to bless you. Same idea as when you see in the Bible, blessed be the name of the Lord. Same word, that Barak, to bless the Lord. And so when we're praising, in fact, in Psalm 72:15, I don't think we read this one yet, but the latter part of it says, this is concerning the Messiah, prayer also will be made for him continually, and daily he shall be praised. That's that word, Baruch, that means to kneel, to bow down. Also, Nehemiah 9:5, we read part of that. Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. That word bless there. Bless the Lord your God. People of Israel, people of God, bless the Lord. That's that word. Another one we'll look at. Zamar. You know, this one's kind of cool because really it specifically means grab your instrument and sing. Praise the Lord with music. With clapping, with singing. If you play an instrument, bring your instrument, that type of thing. It's talking about specifically, this is how we're going to praise the Lord. It's going to be with music. And so I like that one. Psalm 21:13. Be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength. We will sing and praise your power. So we will sing and with music and with instruments praise you for how good you are. That word zamar. Psalm 57:7. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Again, that word which means I'll play my instrument for you. Another word, shabak. Shabak means this, loud tone. I think I have a guitar pedal that has a button on that that says, shabak, loud, volume, shout. Psalm 63:3, we read this one earlier. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Adds a little bit to it, huh? My lips will shout. There will be volume to it. Because your loving kindness is better than life, I'm going to proclaim it. I'm going to praise you with volume, Lord. And I saved my favorite one for last. It's the word halal. Many times in Scripture, when you see the words praise the Lord, it's that word halal. Let me read to you the definition. To be clear, to shine, hence to make a show, to boast, and thus to be clamorously foolish, to rave, causative to celebrate. Enough said. Praise the Lord, boast in Him, celebrate Him, rejoice in Him. That word halal, take that, the word halal, and then God's name in the Old Testament, Yahweh, and just take the Yah part, and you have hallelujah. That's where those words come from. And hallelujah means praise the Lord, and not just the Lord like master, but praise Him. The God of the universe, the God of the Bible. And that's why, I mean, that's, we are praying to the true and living God. When we say hallelujah, we're saying praise and we're putting His name in there. And that's a beautiful thing. Hallelujah. In fact, I think about it every once in a while because we'll do that song, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I love that song and I'll continue to do it. It's a great song. But the word hallelujah means to rave and to boast and to celebrate. And it really, I know people would get very upset, and I won't do it, but you could turn that song into a very loud punk song and probably be more true to the actual definition of the word. I'm not going to do it. People would be, oh, that's so wrong. Well, actually, that's what that word means. But hallelujah, praise the Lord. Did I tell you guys to turn to Psalm 150? Let's read from it. Praise the Lord. That's that word, hallel. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Again, all these hallel. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath, hallelujah, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's beautiful. It's so amazing. That's what we have the opportunity to do, is to praise our God and to worship him in song. And I encourage you, take these things to heart. Let him work it out in your life. Let the excuses that, oh, I'm just a quiet person, or I'm not asking you to be clamorously foolish during worship. I've specifically asked the ushers to remove you if you are. But you can sing, and you can rejoice, and you can love him. And as we come to our close this evening, I really hope these things touch your heart. I hope they make you want to praise him. I hope they encourage you and excite you. And I hope they aren't distant ideas, because God has redeemed you by the blood of his Son to praise him. And he's made way for it. And so I just want to make a couple closing notes that we can hopefully just kind of take with us. Number one, remember, what is praising? Praising is all about rejoicing. It's all about exulting in God. It's all about celebrating God. That's what praise is. Amazing things happen by the power of the Spirit when we praise the Lord, because it's all about God. And when it's done in truth and spirit and in truth, it's not about us anymore. And when things are about us, it stops God from working. When we give ourselves over to him and just glorify him, he answers those prayers. How many times do we come to church and we go, God, you know, and all we think about, rent. You know, it could be written on our forehead, or it might be an illness. I'm not making light of these things. What I'm saying is, praise the Lord, and he'll work. But when all we do is think, God, by the end of this time, I'm really hoping, Lord, have someone tap me on the shoulder and give me a check of this one amount. You know, that'd be awesome, God. And God is saying, will you praise me? Come on. Will you praise me? I'm worthy. I'm good. I'm awesome. Don't make me show you my whole presence right now. You know? Praise me. Rejoice. One of the words the Bible uses for rejoice is the Hebrew word gil. I love this word. You know what it means? It means to circle in joy. There's times when my wife and I have an idea for the day. My kids, my two kids, 8 and 5, they're convinced that it's going to be a boring day. And all of a sudden we decide, you know what? Let's tell them we're going to go to the beach, and after that we're going to get them ice cream. And so it's like, we know that my wife, Jess, you're not going to tell them when I'm not in the room, because I want to see them. It's all about that reaction, right? And so you get ready, okay, kids, and you kind of play it down. I don't know what we're going to do today. And finally you tell them, and they lock hands, and they start dancing around. That's what one of the Hebrew words for rejoicing is in the Bible. And I love seeing my kids do it. And you know what? God loves seeing his kids just rejoice. Can't help ourselves. Lord, you're so good. We rejoice in you. A reminder, so many times in the Psalms and in Scriptures, we are told, praise the Lord for. And then it tells you why he's worthy. We praise the Lord because he's worthy. Psalm 118, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And then it goes on, for his mercy endures forever. So many places in Scripture, it's exactly that. Praise the Lord. He doesn't have to give us a reason, he's God, but he gives us reasons. His loving kindness is better than life. He's merciful. He's gracious. We praise the Lord for who he is. Also, I encourage you, and this is just a practical note, use the Psalms to praise the Lord. If you wonder, how can I praise you, God? Go to the Psalms and use them. Recite them. Okay, well, this seems a little bit not like the language I would use. Well, how would I say it? How would I say, Lord, you're merciful? How would I say, Lord, your loving kindness is better than life? And put it in your own words, but use the Psalms as a template to praise him. Last but not least, I'm going to read this verse, Psalm 147, 1. I like this one because it actually uses three of the Hebrew words that we just used, three of them. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful. Every time, praise, praises, and praise. Those were three different Hebrew words, all ones we talked about tonight. Praise the Lord. It's good to sing praises to our God. Why? For it's pleasant and praise is beautiful. Why do we praise Him? It's beautiful to God. It makes Him smile. It blesses Him. That's why we as a people praise Him. Let's pray. Lord, I'm just excited. I'm excited about how good You are. I'm excited, God, that we came tonight hungry for You and You've given Yourself to us. And Lord, You've shown us some things that, Lord, far be it from us that we should not allow Your Holy Spirit to put these things into us, God. Lord, we've heard, so we can't say we don't know. You've shown us what praise is, You've shown us what it's about, and You've shown us why we're called to do it, and You've given us more than enough reason to do it. So Lord, by Your Spirit, we want to pray, would You put these things in us? Would You cause us to worship and praise in spirit and in truth? As Your people, Lord, and as Your body here. And Lord, light the fire and spread the fire, that Your praises may go up as sweet incense to You and that it may be beautiful to You. Lord, we leave and we say praise was beautiful maybe because there was a song we liked, but Lord, the truth about the beauty of praise is so far from that. It's about You and Your beauty. Lord, when we praise You, would You put Your beauty upon us and our praises? Thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.